understand that, you know, this is somebody who is like an uncle to me. He's somebody who helped me find Christ.
Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country that is controlled by rich white people.
Michelle and I told Reverend Otis Moss that we were withdrawing as members of Trinity. United Church of Christ, my home church.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
And I believe we worship the same God. Islam is peace.
I am awed and honored and humbled to have been elected by my sister and brother bishops in the Episcopal Church.
It has to be one of the most curious accounts in Holy Scripture. The visitation, they call it, but on the outside it looks like just two women, two relatives visiting one another. Both are pregnant, by the way. One in her old age and another, as we read in Holy Scripture, by the Holy Spirit. We call it the visitation, but who is visiting who? Mary and Elizabeth? Or are there more actors here than meets the eye? We're going to be talking about the visitation here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Will Whedon, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, is our guest for the first 10 minutes of the program. Then we have some open lines during this first hour, internet-only hour. We'll be spending some time, again, reminiscing about not only the past of Issues Etc., but about the future as well. In our first broadcast, we didn't have a chance to get to a lot of the things that we wanted to talk about. We'll do some of that coming up in about 10 minutes here on the program. By the way, our call-in number, if you'd like to join us during open lines, it's 1-877-623-MY-IE, 1-877-623-6943. And we have an in-studio email address as we come to you live this Wednesday, the 2nd of July. It's talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. The second hour of the program begins with a conversation with Congressman John Shimkus, a good friend and a regular guest. We're going to get a Washington update. We'll talk about the gas prices, of course, the economy, Iraq, gay marriage in California, and any possible pro-life legislation that might be in the offing. We don't know. It's a presidential year, so the legislators are very, very cautious during election years. Then, in the last half of that second hour, good friend, regular guest, Dr. Paul Meyer, professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and author of numerous books, including In the Fullness of Time. We'll be talking about the historicity of Christianity. Our call-in number again, 1-877-623-MY-IE. That's 1-877-623-6943. Or email us here in the studio. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, July the 2nd. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Will, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. What a joy to be back.
It is. You sound almost giddy.
Well, I guess we could call it that. Yes, I'm delighted to be back and visiting with you guys on the air again. It's a dream come true.
Well, we are delighted to have you back, and it is most certainly answer to many, many prayers and a lot of hard effort. And thank you for everything you've done in the last couple of months.
Hey, you guys, we're just so thankful that God answered these prayers the way that he has, and look forward to you guys sharing much more of the gospel of Jesus Christ with many people. What an exciting opportunity.
Well, the story we're going to discuss today really comes at the beginning of the gospel accounts, and some people might even consider it kind of prehistory to the gospel accounts. Mary comes to visit her relative Elizabeth. Both women are pregnant. One, Elizabeth in her old age, the other, Mary, as we know, by the Holy Spirit. Who is visiting who?
Yeah, that's one of the most profound questions you can ask about the whole account. Because, you know, you're right, on the surface level, it's primarily about the visitation of the Blessed Virgin to her kinswoman, Elizabeth. But immediately upon their greeting one another, it becomes about other people meeting each other. This is the moment when John the Baptist, in his mother's womb, leaps for joy and confesses the one of whom he is to be the forerunner, Jesus, who at this time, Luther says, is small as a peanut in his mother's womb, you know. And John confesses him to be there. Mary, just newly pregnant, by the power of the Holy Spirit, carrying in her body the eternal Son of God, God the Son, in her flesh, in her womb, growing there. And John the Baptist greets him because, you know, how often is it that you have such an opportunity that the Lord himself in and with his mother comes to your house? And then it's a bigger picture of who's visiting who. That means God himself has come to visit the human race. When old Zechariah finally gets his list back, voice back, he talks about how God has visited and redeemed his people because he has come to them in the flesh through his son. That's the great, you know, many levels of the visitation that's going on.
You had mentioned Luther a moment ago talking about Jesus small as a peanut. That earthy way that Luther has of talking about our Savior, especially in these months around his incarnation. But I seem to remember a quote from Luther where he talks about the two women here, not insignificant, but how they greet one another as one sinner to another. What does he say?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not sure if I'm thinking of exactly the passage that you're thinking of. The one that, so you might have to inform me more on that one. The one that I was thinking of that really grabbed me this morning was his description of Mary coming in humility, that the two women greeted each other in humility. And can I share his quote on that?
Please.
Beautiful statement. He says, Mary is God's mother. She knows this and believes that she is God's mother, meaning the mother of the incarnate Son. Elizabeth, too, knows this and praises her publicly. No doubt the Virgin Mary is the greatest and most excellent of all women. Above queens and empresses, this eminence has not made her one hair's breadth more proud. She remains humble. She lowers herself to become a maid, places herself in the service of her aged cousin Elizabeth, remains with her until John the Baptist is born. Such sincere humility ought to jar our senses and take down our pride. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, he sees Mary coming to Elizabeth and not with any kind of airs. What is she coming there for? We hear that she's there for 3 months while Elizabeth's in the 6th month of her pregnancy. I don't know about you, but you probably do remember when your dear wife was 6 months pregnant and what's that like. Now imagine your dear wife being 6 months pregnant and what, being 80-some years old. You can imagine what a trauma that would be. So why is Mary there? She has come to serve. Luther hammers this home in his sermon. Just like her son came not to be served, but to serve, so Mary, bearing already not only in her body, but in her heart, the faith of the Son of God, comes to be servant to her kinswoman. And you know what's really cool is the way that Elizabeth greets her. You've got to remember the difference between Mary's response to the angel's words, where, she did ask a question, how will this be? And asking for information, and the angel told her, and then she said, well, let it be to me according to your word. Compare that with Elizabeth's husband's response when he is told that he will become the father of a child. Zechariah, remember, he's like, well, how am I supposed to know that this is going to come true? And remember, the sign the angel gave him was, yeah, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and you question me. He says, "This will be your sign until my words come to fulfillment. You will not be able to speak." So when Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house and Elizabeth greets her and blesses her, I can't help but think she looked over at Zechariah sitting there in the corner, and she points to Mary and she says, "Blessed is she who has believed, for there will be a fulfillment of what the Lord has told to her." You know, a little bit of a rebuke to her husband who didn't believe when the angel came to him.
This is the old Sunday school question is often, did John the Baptist and Jesus, were they acquainted with one another, given the fact that we're given to believe that they may have been as close as first cousins in their blood relation, at least through Mary? It's kind of odd to think that this really is the first time these two relatives meet, both John and Jesus, although the only thing separating them are the bodies of their mothers.
Yeah, they're full human beings, both of them, inside their mother's wombs. And John himself, filled with the Holy Spirit inside of that womb, confessing who Jesus is. I mean, such is the grace and power of the Lord Jesus at work already as he is present there in his mother. She's kind of like the ark, if you will, carrying around the presence of the All-Holy One.
What is the relationship, finally, of these two men, our Savior Jesus Christ and John the Baptist? What will their final relationship ultimately be, so that our listeners understand where this first encounter is ultimately headed. You have about a minute and a half, no more.
Oh, now that's mean. Where it's ultimately headed is that John, of course, is going to be a martyr and die confessing the Christ. He's going to lose his head. And his head is cut off. That's celebrated in the church on August 29th. And we remember St. John then is a forerunner of Christ. He's a forerunner also into death. I don't know. I always kind of, this is moving into speculation, but I love to picture John the Baptist goes to the dead and says, hang on, folks, it's not long. He's going to be here, and he's going to throw open the gates of eternal life. You wait and see. I've seen him in the flesh. He's upon earth. And, of course, not long after the forerunner experiences his death, and not long afterwards, the Lord Jesus Christ himself offers himself through death as a sacrifice to the Father to burst the hole through death and rescue John and all of the dead and bring them into the glorious kingdom, all who have believed in him.
Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. He joined us on the occasion of the visitation in order to talk about this great first encounter between Jesus, our Savior, and his forerunner, John the Baptist. Pastor Whedon, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Take care, Todd.
You too. When we come back from this break, we've got open lines here in the first hour of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. That's 1-877-623-6943. Or talkback at issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues, Etc. back. Jeremy Clifton, Pastor Stuart Rethwish, Pastor Larry Bean, Daniel Burquist, Gleason Snoshall, Pastor Randy Asbury, Pastor Daniel Bremer, Chris Johnson, G. Heinz, and Timothy Shanks. Thanks for your support.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come. Join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois at trinitymillstadt.org.